Hello there, this is Bane. When I'm not out on the streets of Gotham hunting the Batman, I find myself listening to Part-Time Fanboy on a regular basis. Be sure to check out Part-Time Fanboy at www.parttimefanboy.com for somewhat weekly podcasts and reviews about various fanboy-related subjects. Also be sure to like them on Facebook and follow them on the Twitter. Do it now, or I'll have to do something awful to your spine.
Part-Time Fanboy.
Part-Time Fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
Fanboy.com.
Is everyone here now for the party? For the
really?
Yes. The podcast. What is up with Paul and the French speaking? Was that Paul saying wee wee?
Well, I mean, you know, it's either that or speak American. And
Who wants that? Who wants that?
That was Paul.
All right.
I think it's appropriate because I just went wee wee anyway. So.
Let's begin the show, shall we? Let's begin the show. All right. This is the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. I am Christian Horn, and I am on the line with my good friends, Paul Edwards.
Hello.
Reina Velarde.
Hi.
And Ivis Cannavale. And we are here to talk about Birds of Prey, otherwise known as Harley Quinn and Birds of Prey, as of this writing right now.
Well, that's the.
I like the previous title.
That's the search title. They didn't change the title.
Oh, it's still Birds of Prey and the Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
Quinn, Birds of Prey on Internet Movie Database as of right now. Harley Quinn. : Birds of Prey. That's what they're calling it.
It's search title, not the official title of the movie.
Well, it is on the Internet Movie Database. Harley Quinn : Birds of Prey. So yes. It was not that before. It was Harley Quinn and the Emancipation of blah, blah, blah. I mean, Birds of Prey and the Emancipation. Either way, whatever the title is, it's that movie that came out this past weekend with all the lovely ladies in it kicking much ass. In Gotham.
Yes.
Correct?
A lot of
butt kicking in this movie. We could start with our thoughts regarding the movie, but why don't we start with our thoughts regarding Harley Quinn? What are some of our history's thoughts on the character in and of herself? Any thoughts on Harley herself? Any sort of memories of Harley or anything by anyone? Anyone read her in the comics or loved her on the animated show or?
Crickets.
That's why the movie came in at under 40 million people. Crickets. Nobody knows who Harley Quinn is except for us.
I think like all of us or most of us were introduced to her through the Batman animated series.
Sure.
And, I mean, I obviously at the time, I mean, I know I didn't really, I thought she was a really cool character, but I didn't think she'd be like such a breakout character. And
yeah.
I've never read any of her comic books. I think I read one Suicide Squad comic book and I read that and I enjoyed it. But over time I have really, and actually I've recently fallen in love with the that Harley Quinn animated series on DC. I mean, I've only been watching clips on YouTube of it, but I'm absolutely floored by how funny that show is. That show is absolutely hilarious, but it's also wonderfully filthy. So I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
So yeah, it's more adult oriented.
Yeah, the DC the clips I've seen are absolutely hilarious. So you can watch clips on YouTube and they're funny as hell. I love the fact that also that Clayface is just like this pretentious actor. Oh, so okay. I really enjoyed the character. But I mean, honestly, this is probably the most I've ever been like known about Harley Quinn outside of the animated series. Margot Robbie's brought her to life in such an amazing way, and I'm really impressed by it. I mean, even though I know Suicide Squad gets a lot of crap, and rightfully so.
Deservedly so,
but I do think Robbie's Harley was amazing and one of the saving graces of that film.
Yeah.
And she takes it up 12 notches in this film and really makes it her own. So that's my entire exposure to Harley Quinn.
Sure. Yeah,
I didn't read a lot of the comic books, but based on Suicide Squad and just the the cartoon black, white and red version of her, that's really all I know of a Harley Quinn background. And so it was really nice because I think my hesitation of going into Birds of Prey, our expectation was that she was going to be, I don't know, she was a little to me like, she's just Joker's girlfriend and she's just this like side character and like there was no life given to her. And I was afraid that they were going to do that to her in this one. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was really, I love what she did and like her accent was on point and to find out like she's not American, right?
Well, Harley Quinn is, yeah.
Margot Robbie.
She's Australian, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, and her to pull off that, East Coast accent and to be totally animated and yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, this is like sort of a dumb thing, but like we saw Margot Robbie in person back in October, and yeah, she's nothing like that character, like her in person. And so like it really was kind of cool to see like someone like, oh yeah, you did that. I really liked this movie. It was the most fun DC movie, hands down.
Yeah.
Most fun, hands down, to me it was sort of second only to Wonder Woman in terms of the modern DC universe movies.
Sure.
That I enjoyed.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, as far as like Harley Quinn goes, I mean, I loved that character on Batman, the animated series. And what's fascinating to me about Harley Quinn is as much as I love her on that show, she was sort of a very problematic character because she was very much a victim of abuse, at the hands of the Joker. And she was kind of like a foil for all his like rage. And she was like in love with him and he would basically treat her like crap. And, so as, when the show debuted, it was obviously a very different time. And Joker was not necessarily abusive, but he was, he kind of treated her poorly. He was a bad boyfriend, let's just put it that way.
It was done in a very cartoony way too, the characters in the animated, while it was like a masterpiece of storytelling, it was still pitched for kids, and so the characterizations were very broad. It was played more for laughs than anything. Yeah. It's like, that wacky Joker never returning her feelings.
But if you apply any sort of like critical thought to it, you're like, that's kind of a horrible relationship, it's supposed to be because that's the Joker, right? He's a very bad human being, correct?
To be fair, most childhood things are like that too. When you start applying critical thinking to it, you're like, oh my goodness.
Bugs Bunny and,
It's really interesting for me, like this movie coming out, like when it does, because it's funny because somebody was asking me yesterday, like, oh, so like, was Jared Leto still the Joker in this? Or is it Phoenix? This was somebody else.
Different.
Which Joker is she breaking up with here?
Yeah,
it's
it's
kind of cool because she's breaking up with all of them,
I guess.
This really did feel sort of like a pop culture creation of this character, that sort of like came into her own here in this movie.
Yeah, it's interesting. On top of that, you know, I mean, obviously at some point DC Comics sort of decided to make Harley Quinn, give her her own comic and stuff like that. And I think it was Terry Dodson who was the original artist. And he was sort of at the time, I don't want to insult him because I think he's an amazing artist, but he was kind of considered sort of like the poor man's Adam Hughes, maybe. And so known for drawing women with very large chests and, you know, very sexual proportions, let's just put it that way. And Harley Quinn was very much portrayed as that in those sort of like early issues of her series. And I did not stick with the book because I did not find, I mean, there was a point in time where I did not find Harley Quinn an interesting enough character on her own, separate from the Joker. What made her interesting to me was that sort of back and forth relationship that she had with, you know, Mr. J, as she called him. And, and you know, that says a lot of like messed up stuff about, again, that relationship in general. Like, oh, a female character is only interesting because of her sort of like tie-in to how she supports a male character, right? So that's all kind of messed up as well, especially for the moment that we're in. But I mean, I didn't keep tabs on her at all. I didn't really read her comics. I was not really a big fan of sort of like the Jim Lee New 52 punk rock outfit Harley Quinn. I always loved the classic, you know, Bruce Timm, Paul Dini, you know, clown Harlequin outfit. Yeah. I actually have a statue of it. What was that?
Yeah, the actual Harlequin suit.
Yeah. You know,
Harley Quinn. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's funny that I found that it in the context of this movie, she really worked for me. Like, I actually really ended up liking her as a character and found her to be interesting in her own right. So I think that this movie, for me, you know, again, not being a fan that sort of like tracked her down in every comic appearance or even other stuff. I mean, I think she's shown up in a couple of like Suicide Squad animated movies, and I think I've seen one of those, and those are actually really good, especially when you compare them to the live action movie, you know, which is often the case with DC, where the animated films are better than live action. But I was really surprised as to how much this movie, at least for Harley Quinn, kind of like picked up the ball and ran with it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
As far as the kind of like rest of the movie, I'm going to say that I very much I liked the movie. I did not necessarily love it, but I liked it. Like, I came out and I was like, okay, that was an action movie. And I think to Paul's point on Facebook, I think you had said that I actually enjoyed Birds of Prey, had more fun with it than I did with Joker, which, yeah. I, you know, that being said, Joker, I don't think is supposed to be a fun movie, or at least for any normal thinking person, you know?
Yeah, like, talking about, like, the Joker's hard to rewatch just because it's so depressing. This I could rewatch right now. Like, I could rewatch Birds of Prey because it was a fun ride. Like, first of all, when we got into the theater and, like not even 2 minutes go by, I'm like, what is this rated? Good Lord. Like, you know, like, you know, me, I'm into horror and, you know, cursing and whatever, but like, I had no idea going into it that it was rated R. So I was just like clutching my pearls, like, oh my, what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. And then once I kind of figured it out, all right. I'm on for the ride of gore and cussing and, you know, like the kid cussing. So yeah, I like the way it started. And then throughout A to Z, I was sucked in. Like, I didn't feel like, you know, some movies you get easily distracted by the audience and so you're not really into the movie. This, I was in it the whole time and it was just like a fun ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was, obviously, I mean, we're going to overuse a word here, but I thought it was a lot of fun. It, it was definitely I knew it was R rated, but I didn't realize it was going to be so graphic.
Yeah.
And, but I was all on board with it. It was like, you know, I think some critics said it was like John Wick, you know, with a glitter bomb going off. And, and it did have that very kinetic, it wasn't, the fight scenes were not super clean and super slick like a John Wick, but I like that. I like that there was a little bit of like dirt and grit to it. That, and but still so much fun, so colorful. You know, when she's going, that scene where she's going through the police station, she's just, you know, just shooting people with those glitter bags.
That was a nice set piece. Yeah,
that was a great, great set piece, and really indicative of who, I mean, you know, I, you know, you don't want her shooting cops like with a real bullet. So
sure. Yeah.
You
gotta
you take it down, but it still feels like it's indicative of the character. Like she would be that, she would do something as violent, but that's also very silly.
And it's also very reminiscent of the Terminator, correct?
Like, oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of funny in a way. I feel like she's a better Joker right now than the
Yeah, you know? Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, it's interesting. I want to go back for a second, though, and also you were talking about the rating. It's funny because we, you know, it is rated R. I do have some commentary to say about that, that I feel like, I mean, obviously it did not open as strongly as it could have, and I think they made a real mistake making it rated R, because there are a couple of things that you could have just cut back on and had it a really strong PG-13 and opened up the audience. Oh yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
and
I feel the thing that sucks about this is that I feel like the movie, like, people can't just fucking enjoy a movie anymore without it like turning into like some sort of political goalpost.
And no, that's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about expanding your audience so that
I see where you're going with it, so that more people can appreciate Harley
Okay, so you guys are going to be shocked by what I'm going to say next because of how definitely conservative we sort of are with what our daughter watches. But it was funny because Amy and I came out of that and we were sort of having a discussion like, oh, could our daughter see that? And we were sort of like, it's rated R, but yeah, I mean, at this point she's seen like Stranger Things and, you know, we're sort of expanding our horizons as far as like what she's able to watch. And yeah. I was like, yeah, what? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Nice. I'm just saying, interesting. I'm totally leaning in with my fist on my chin, the big old grin on my face.
No, I mean, there was definitely a part of us that was very much like, yeah, I think I could take her to see this. I think that this isn't terribly hard R. And it's funny to hear you guys say, you know, things like, oh my God, it's like rated R. And I was like, yeah, it's rated R. And there are definitely, I would not take like an 8-year-old to go see this. But I also think that it missed an opportunity in expanding its audience because these, let's face it, these are characters that originally originated in a cartoon, you know, in an animated show. And that's what it's known for. And if you make something more sort of PG-13 or you skew it towards that audience, you're going to have more people dragging their kids to it. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
To me, that's not the case anymore. Like I'll be honest with you. Most of the kids who I know, like, second, third grade, and I know my area is not, you know, indicative of all. Like, they watch Deadpool, they watch all this shit on YouTube, like they like they're in on this, and it's like, yeah, you know, like I feel like R in a weird way is the new PG-13.
Yeah, I mean, you may be right about a certain segment, but I think there's another segment that actually consumes a lot of this stuff too that may have been scared away by the R rating. And I think this is the thing that I was thinking about with Shazam, when Shazam first debuted and you have that whole opening sequence with like the car crash and it's like really intense and a little gory. And I remember sitting in the theater looking at my kid like, okay. And there's a part of me that's very much like, who are we making this movie for? You know, like, are we making it for like, you know, like people who can go see Reservoir Dogs, or are we making this for a more safer audience? Like, what are we doing here? And it's very schizophrenic to me.
Is Deadpool rated R?
Yeah, Deadpool is definitely rated R for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I would just say it's the same audience as Deadpool then.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know why it didn't drag in the same amount, but
I see. That's fair. I see. I didn't look at those numbers. That's fair. I see what you're saying.
I have to admit, though, I'm curious.
And Deadpool is a better made movie.
You have a film like Joker, which made box office, it made tons of money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's an R-rated film, and yet that's a very dreary. I mean, you can see the trend. It's a very dreary,
yeah,
and a downer movie, and they made a ton of money. I this film's R-rated, but it's so I mean, look at the trailer. You know, this is going to be fun. It's going to be colorful. It's going to be exciting.
It was not colorful in my theater. Go ahead. Well, yeah.
But that's the art. I'm like, what is it about? What? Why didn't people go see this? I mean, my personal theory is that because of Suicide Squad and because of the unevenness of the DC films in general, I think people are just hesitant to go see this. I think it's sort of like how Dark Fate, in my opinion, tanked because it was saddled with three other subpar sequels. And I'm a Terminator Salvation defender, but I know that film's weak too.
Yeah.
So I think there's a sort of stigma now surrounding kind of DC films in a way. But again, that's a theory because, like I said, Joker made a ton of money.
Yeah.
And that film is a downer film.
But Joker is huge. Like, that character has been around forever. I think Heath Ledger really helped it. That character has been in cartoons and media for like almost 100 years. Now, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I think it had Joaquin Phoenix in it. And I think it sort of had that very fake Scorsese pedigree where people were like very impressed with the sort of, you know, aping Scorsese, you know, filmmaking. I think the Joker sort of took something familiar and wrapped it up in something that people hadn't seen in a long time. And I honestly don't know why comic fans have not run out to see Birds of Prey, because I don't think it's any worse than a lot of like other sort of basic like superhero movies. I don't think that Birds of Prey is as good as Deadpool, the first Deadpool. You know, I think
there's probably an argument to made too that, you know, it's a female led in.
I don't buy that.
No, I'm just putting that out there as some people, you know, might have an issue with that and might not be as big a fan as, you know, like.
But
then
how do you explain Wonder Woman or
Captain Marvel?
I see what you're saying, and I'm not 100% disagreeing with you. I think there is I see it on Twitter all the time. I see all these guys just yelling at the top of their lungs about, oh, this is a feminist agenda and it's woke culture and all this other crap. And
well, there's that, you know, and Paul was seeing posts about, you know, that the characters weren't dressed sexy enough.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That too.
I agree.
Sorry, they weren't sexy enough for you to stroke off to. You know.
No, I actually liked that.
If you don't see them as sexy the way they are, like, that's like they're just, do their tits have to be hanging out in order for you to see them as?
Well, that is one of the things that I actually really appreciated about this movie, is that Harley Quinn was not dressed like in a skin tight outfit or anything. She's got like the baggy sort of like confetti, not like streamers hanging off her sleeves, particularly in the beginning. She's always got kind of like a loose t-shirt on. You could tell that she's attractive, but she's not. It's sort of the thing that I always say about like comic book art. It's not the costume. It's the way you draw the costume. And I think that this is very much like, it's funny because I thought Black Canary was very sexy. I thought Huntress. Yeah. I think they're all very sort of. Black Canary is the character that surprised me the most, because I am going to admit, even as a half Latinx person, there was that comic nerd in me that saw a character get cast that wasn't, you know, blonde bombshell, you know, white girl, and I was like, you know. But as soon as I walked into the movie and saw her, I was like, oh yeah, that's Black Canary. Like, that works for me. You know what I'm saying? But I think there is a sexiness to the characters, but I don't know that the movie is being sold on that. So that might be something that's not dragging people in. Am I making sense?
It is. And I think you're right about the Suicide Squad kind of stigma.
Yeah. Well.
And I predict that it might have a little upheaval after this because of so many people seeing it and having rave reviews about it.
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot of people who have said, you know, oh, I just heard, you know, I heard it bashes men. I heard it's anti-men. And I'm just like, literally, I'm just,
it's
like,
Black Christmas.
Whoever told you that is so misinformed, because, like, it's, And first of all,
instead of men versus men, it's women like beating up on like a gang of men. So it's like,
either
way, it would be arguably bashing men, like even when the superhero is a dude.
Well, but why is like a woman asserting herself? I mean, like, let's admit that the whole plot is very much like, I broke up with the Joker and now I'm out on my own and now I'm going to stand up for myself and be on my, why is that threatening to men, especially when the character is as cute and sort of perky and non-threatening as, you know, Harley Quinn is, right? I mean, it's not like Harley Quinn is like a ball buster or anything like that. Not that she doesn't have to be, but do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a ridiculous argument. I mean, in the sense that it's like, in a way, it's not really about the men. And that's,
it's not a
movie that's made for men.
Yeah,
like, I feel like in a way. I mean, it's just made for any. It's not a movie necessarily made even for women, though. It's just like, if you love comic books and having a good, fun time at the movies, you'll like this. You know, I really do feel like this is the first movie that, you know, maybe, you know, the R rating quibble aside, sort of does have something for everybody.
You know? Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I mean, I do have issues with it. Like I said, I liked it. I did not love it. Amy and I came out of the theater and we were like, okay, yeah. I mean, Amy was a little harsher on it than I was. But I was like, yeah, okay. Like, Amy was like, well, if I saw it and it was on in the background and I was watching cable, and I would leave it on, you know what I mean? And I was like, well, you know, I have some problems with some of the way that the story was fleshed out and things like that, which, I mean, I felt like there was no really big character development, like arcs or like really huge sort of moments to get to know, in particularly the Birds of Prey, right?
They did sort of deserve second billing here.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, that's what I kept thinking. I'm like, the movie's called Birds of Prey, and they stuck, like, Harley Quinn in the corner. And I'm like, the Huntress barely shows up, and she's, like, in the last quarter of the movie. And granted, she's basically a Batman sort of fill-in, but she had, like, there was no character to her at all.
I totally disagree.
With the Huntress?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Like, she had such a great character.
Yeah, just being the introvert.
She was just, exactly. She was,
fight crime.
You know, she was just trying so hard to be cool, you know, and it was just like, it was so funny, you know. I got a lot of laughs out of her character.
No, I mean, I felt like she was funny, but I felt like she was not a fully developed character in any way. And,
yeah, I have to agree with Christian on this one. I enjoyed Huntress a lot, but I almost felt like, oh, it's a cameo. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed the character and I liked that they built, but really she kind of fell into the group kind of by accident in a way. Like,
yeah.
It didn't really feel like she was organic as much as the other ones were.
Family?
The whole setup was because of her family.
The diamond.
Oh, yeah. But she doesn't show up until like the last half an hour of the movie. Like,
and the diamond thing on her end doesn't mean anything.
She didn't care about it.
She's just killing out the people that killed her family. That's fine. Yeah. But she even said, she's like, okay, I'm done. I'm going to leave. And I'm like, okay, you could leave. Like, I wouldn't know the difference, honestly, at this point.
Yeah.
What actually entertained me about those, that like it was just full of all of these characters who had sort of their own little agendas, you know, and it all just sort of snowballed into this thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because what I found interesting and disorienting at the same time, and there's a part of me that's like, oh, well, maybe this threw audiences off, is sort of the way it played with the storyline, right? Like, it wasn't a straight through narrative. Like, she would start telling a story and she would be like, let me go back here and wait, let me do this, sort of like, with her schizophrenic sort of like, or, you know, crazed personality. I found that very interesting. But then at the same time, there were times where I found it a little jarring, right? I mean, that's the way I saw it.
Not to me, because I mean, it's structured like Deadpool.
Yeah.
You know, it's structured. It's structured like Deadpool. And I figure, like, you know, and it's a similar character. Like, they're unreliable narrators. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like just because you're seeing it from their point of view doesn't mean it really happened that way.
I feel sure. Like we said that exact same thing when we talked about Joker.
Yeah, but and
yeah, exactly.
Because
yeah.
They both are. I mean, that's sort of the essence of their yeah. character is to be, you know, to be the thing that upends, you know, order, you know.
Yeah.
That's the role of a jester.
Yeah.
One of the things that like I liked about that what it had Batman in it. Indirectly, you know.
yeah.
And you know.
Oh my God, the hyena.
The hyena, you know. Like the,
oh,
the
I wanted more of the hyena. I wanted the hyena to be attacking people. Like, I was like, that was such a wasted opportunity for me.
Yeah, I was hoping it was going to be like the dogs in John Wick 3, Halle yeah. Berry's dogs.
I did not see John Wick 3 yet.
For me, like, these movies need a Batman, you know? Like, where Joker falls apart for me is like there's no Batman, and like yeah. Joker without Batman is it's a joke, you know.
I mean, yeah.
it's the whole point of the Killing Joke. It's like that they're tied into that
well,
cycle.
It's just the creator createe, and you do have that with Harley because Joker's her creator.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Case, just like bad versus bad instead of bad versus good. There's yeah. a. There's air quotes happening there. Good.
Yeah, but Paul, I want to go back to that point that you made earlier that I did feel that in this movie that Harley Quinn is very much more of a Joker than Joker was himself in his own movie. And I feel like that is one of the things I very much liked about this movie. Although I think Margot Robbie is a fantastic actress. I think she does a really good job here. I felt like Harley could have been a little loopier, maybe because of my association with Arlene Sorkin, the original voice, and having known her on like Days of Our Lives. Like my idea of Harley Quinn is she's a little ditzier, not dumb, but ditzier, you know what I'm saying? And I wonder if there was a comedic actress that might have been able to pull it off a little stronger. But that being said, the one big problem that I have had with every Joker movie, with the exception of, you know, the Nicholson one and the original Adam West one.
Yeah, Cesar Romero?
Cesar Romero. If you could take Cesar Romero and mix him with the Mark Hamill Joker, that would be perfection. I mean, you would have the perfect Joker, in my opinion. Because the problem with these recent Joker movies is that he does not seem to be having a good time. The Joker is crazy because he's having a good time. He's not tortured. He doesn't feel bad about his what he's doing. He doesn't feel bad about himself. He is happy. Like, that's his deal. And that was very much what Margot Robbie, like, pushed through to the screen, that even though Harley Quinn was kind of, like, sad, you know, and being put down upon, that when the action started happening and she was kicking ass, she was enjoying it. Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point.
it's why they do it, you know? It's why it's why the heroes and the villains do it. I mean, they love the fight. They love to beat each other up.
Yeah. You
know? And I think in a way that's what sort of makes it fun, is that this one felt the most like a comic book than, you know, I mean, especially with the last Joker movie, which was like, you know, we're a film, damn it. You know,
we're not
a comic book movie. We're a film. We're serious art. And here, you know, here comes this. And it's just like, no, it's not pretentious. It's just out to give you a good ride. And, you know, and to me, this was, I preferred it. You know, I just preferred that in so many ways. And I think it's because I do prefer that version of the Joker that is silly and you know, like, comes out with like the outrageous antics and the big gags, you know, like that's I'm in agreement there.
And just
a slight aside for 1 second, I cannot express how happy I was to see Todd Phillips, who had said that you can't do comedy anymore because it's too woke, watching Taika win an Oscar for a comedy with Hitler in it.
Yeah, it is great.
I was so happy to see him, and he was all plump. And I'm like, I was like, oh, you seething bastard! I know you're upset.
Well, you know, let's face it, Martin Scorsese really directed the Joker. Let's just put it that way. That is my opinion. Come at me. I can pull scenes, but no, there is a thing that happens in the second Christopher Nolan Batman movie. Is that The Dark Knight? Or I don't remember. With Heath Ledger, whose performance is amazing. And I've always said, like, that was a great performance. It's not my Joker. But he stabs somebody, like, with a pencil, right, in their hand. And in my Joker world, like, the Joker starts laughing at that and thinks it's hysterical. And why doesn't everybody think this is, like, the funniest thing ever? You know what I mean? And that's the Joker. And that's what makes him frightening. You know what I mean? That's what makes everyone go, like, dude, this guy is not all there. Not this nihilistic sort of, like, eh, the world is falling apart and blah, blah, blah. No, no. The Joker's not about that. The Joker's like, I'm having a good time. I'm going to burn the world, but it's going to be awesome. And we're going to have a party. You know what I mean? And that's why he's scary. Because you don't know what's coming next. Because you don't know what's funny to him. You know what I mean? And that is something that they have not... Excuse me, that is something that they have not captured with the Joker in cinema, probably since Jack Nicholson. And I don't even think Jack Nicholson was perfect either. Like, Jack Nicholson was too Jack Nicholson. But anyway...
Yeah, but Jack Nicholson is naturally the Joker, in my opinion. I mean, he's just this fun-loving, you know, crazy-eyed, you know, freak. And I'm okay with that, you know. And Cesar Romero, I will agree with Cesar Romero. And yeah, of course, Mark Hamill. But you're right. They have made the Joker, they've tried to create the gritty street-level Batman Joker, you know, villain thing. So.
And it's just boring serial killer nonsense. It's just the same thing that every serial killer has done on screen since... serial killers started showing up on screen. Like, there's
Speaking
nothing
of
unique
serial
about
killers,
it.
Though, let's talk about Black Mask.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah, let's talk about that. Because I feel like now the Joker has overtaken Harley Quinn's episode, so we should definitely go back to the actual movie. Yeah, no, let's talk about Black Mask, which is one of the problems that I had with the movie. But anyway, go ahead.
I thought he was very Joker-like.
Oh, God, I thought he was so miscast. Like, I was just like, I love Ian McGregor. I think he's a great actor, but I think he's best when he is sort of quiet and, you know, very, like, level headed, and I think he has character that comes through. And I think in this movie, I don't think he was hitting it. That's just me. I didn't find him menacing. I didn't find him compelling. I was just like, what are you doing? I kept looking at him, but obviously I may be in the minority here.
I don't know, man. I love it when, like, he chews the scenery, man. Like, because it's funny, the only thing that somebody had told me going into this movie, they were like, it's got a lot of Moulin Rouge in it.
Huh.
I said, why?
Oh, interesting.
Exactly.
And because they sang Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
Well, I didn't know about the Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
Oh, that was a great bit.
But, like, even visual, like the style-wise, it had a lot of, like, those, like, smash cuts and, you know, the, like, the move. I felt like it, and it had that very, I don't know, I felt like it was a super comic booky movie, and he took that, like, way over the top, like, in a fun way.
Yeah, I did. I felt like it was very much like Make a Choice. Like, let's make a choice and stick with it. Like, are you the sinister dude, or are you sort of like the Fae, you know, worried all the time? You know, and if it was a choice of, like, schizophrenia or bouncing back and forth, it didn't play right with me.
It played kind of like, I want to be in charge, but when I'm not in charge, I'm whiny. And Paul said he reminded him of somebody else, too.
Yeah, 45.
The one thing I will say that kind of bugged me just a little bit about Ewan McGregor's Black Mask is Ewan McGregor does a really weird, like, American accent.
Okay.
It's the same accent he did, like, in The Island, where it sounds like a black guy impersonating a white person.
What?
It's, to me, that's what it sounds like. Hi there, everybody. I'm gonna. Can I borrow a cup of sugar for you? and so I that's the only thing that kind of pulled me, because he does this weird American accent, which I'm not sure where he came up with it. But and I was a little, I wouldn't say confused, but I was kind of always questioning the relationship between Black Mask and Zsasz.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah. I don't think that was very strong either.
Are we supposed to question that, or are we just, I mean, it looked more than just henchman and boss. It, that seemed...
Oh, well, yeah, it was, because, I mean, these are two guys who get each other. You know what I mean?
But like, beyond that, that's what I'm thinking, though. Is it but more than that, or...
Well, I think even on that level, I mean, like, these are super villains who, like, hang out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're, it's like, and that was the fun part about this movie, is that, like, this was believable that, like, all of these, like, crazy characters, like, lived in the same place. You know what I mean? Like this Gotham was, like, the weirdest Gotham.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, so I will have to say, to your point about Gotham, this is the first time I felt, like, in a while that, like, I lived in sort of like a Gotham that wasn't trying so hard to be Gotham or a real place. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of like had the balance for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there were, yeah, Ian McGregor, like, the thing that really bugged me is he's this guy called Black Mask, and he never wears the mask, like, except at the very end. And I'm like, why didn't the mask sort of, like, come out? Yeah, I understand that it's Ian McGregor and we have to show his beautiful face and everything, but, like, come on, man. Like, if you're going to embrace a character like that, like, put the mask on and like, let's roll, you know? Which would have been even creepier to me.
Well, yeah, but when you watch the film, where exactly is it dramatic enough for him to put on them? And by the way, I'm not familiar with Black Mask all that well. Isn't in the comic book, is that like a permanent mask on him, or is that something that's removable?
You know, no. I'm not familiar with that character either. It's a Batman character.
It's removable.
I think so too.
He's one of the Cyanus guys. Roman Cyanus.
Oh, okay. I remember watching an animated film and Black Mask was the main villain, but he wore it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to call yourself Black Mask, you got to wear the Black Mask all the time. You can't just toss it aside when you feel like it. You have to have it all the time. That was very much a, you know, because at that point, then he's sort of just like a typical gangster, right? Like, he's just like whatever, you know, anybody else is. There's a gangster who wears like a black hat, and, you know, he would wear the black hat all the time. He wouldn't just be like putting on the black hat every once in a while. Like, I just felt like that was a very missed opportunity.
Yeah, man, if you're not wearing the black mask, you're just nothing more than white guy.
Okay? That's right. You might as well call yourself like Red Skull wears the mask like all the time. So
Red Skull's
why
face
not?
Isn't permanently that. It's not a mask. That's his permanent face.
No, my friend. No, my comic book reading friend. The Red Skull originally's face was a mask.
Originally, how long? In 1943?
Up until like the 80s, dude. That was always a mask. That was never. It's only like in like the 90s or so. So I think that
well, that's
he actually.
I was reading comic books, so my Red Skull is a permanent face skull mask.
You're wrong. You're wrong. You're just wrong. Ian McGregor is one of the problems that I had with the movie. I didn't feel like he was menacing enough. I didn't feel like he was crazy enough. There is a really menacing scene though where he does something messed up with the woman standing on the table.
Exactly what I was gonna bring
up.
Yeah,
that and the near rape scene with Harley being drunk off her ass.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was a different guy though. That's a different.
Well, but
I'm
saying those to me were the two like where I was like, ooh, that just these went really dark. dark.
Yeah, and those are definitely the moments where it was where we were bouncing back and forth, like, I don't know, could we take Talon to see it? You know what I mean? Like, could I take my daughter to go see this? But it's very interesting because
those are scenes that you would never get in a movie that wasn't written and directed by a woman.
Speaking of that,
oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
The other thing that wouldn't happen, I think, with a dude director, the fight scene when she's like, "You have a hair tie," or like,
"Hair tie, yep."
Tie. I love that part too. He didn't make her hair in a cute little ponytail. That it was just like, get this hair up out of my face, and I'm gonna fight you. And it was like, you know, didn't have to be pretty.
Sure.
Yeah. Keanu certainly needed one in John Wick.
But did you say that you didn't like the fight scenes?
No, I like the fight scenes. I actually thought the fight scenes were excellent. In particular, the police sort of squad, the squad room scene, I thought was amazing. I mean, to Evis's point earlier, I think it was Evis that was talking about like not wanting to shoot cops. Like when she first lifts that gun up and points it in the cop's face and it looks like a shotgun, I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. And then she shoots it and like a clown nose comes out. And to Paul's point, like that was so Joker, like it was perfect. And then the savagery of the blow, where I was like, oh my god, like that thing like knocked him across the room. But at the same time, it's like you're sort of avoiding your protagonist becoming a cop killer, right? And then at the same time, it's like that was such a Joker gag that I loved it. But yeah,
to me, classic Joker was more about humiliating the police more than fucking them, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the same reason why, like, he doesn't kill Batman, because without Batman, he's nothing. But also, if you kill the police off, then you can't keep doing his shenanigans.
Yep.
It's about the shenanigans.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for pointing out that was a clown nose. I just assumed it was a red bean bag coming out.
I thought it was a clown nose. Was I wrong?
A clown nose? Oh, no, I don't know. I thought it was a red bean bag, too, but it could have easily been a clown nose.
I think you make more sense.
I thought it was a clown nose. I didn't think it was just like a regular old beanbag. I mean, obviously a clown nose in the shape, a beanbag in the shape of a clown nose. That's and then when she kept shooting them, I was like, oh, that's great. They're like clown noses.
It's a clown with a beanbag nose.
Yeah.
By the way, did anyone else notice the Arlene Sorkin cameo in the movie?
No, she was in it. Is she alive?
Indirectly. There's a scene in when Harley's in her apartment. She's walking. I think she's walking towards the window. I can't remember which scene it is. But on the TV is Arlene Sorkin dressed as the clown from Days of Our Lives.
Oh, wow. That's great. Which is the image that inspired Harley Quinn.
Exactly.
That's where they got the idea, because they were watching Days of Our Lives. Or I don't know if it was inspired the actual idea of the character or inspired to use her as the voice. But yeah. Oh, good eye, Evis. That's really great.
Thank you. That's my only contribution to this entire conversation.
No, it's not. No, it is not. Your sparkling personality adds to the wonderment of the Part-Time Fanboy podcast.
The wonderment.
So let's talk about some of the other characters. I mean,
Montoya.
Montoya. Okay, we could talk about Montoya. I am not a huge fan of Rosie Perez's necessarily career, you know, I will say, but I thought she was very good in this movie, and I find it messed up that she had to wear that t-shirt during the whole thing. I hope she got paid extra for that. Like for me, it was like very much like, okay, we've got an actress who has been around for, you know, she's not my favorite actress. I mean, mostly because of the pitch of her voice, particularly in the 90s, like drove me nuts. Like, but she's kind of either learned to lower the timbre of her voice, but she used to just drive me crazy. It was like nails on a chalkboard, like
you
in the 90s.
You got a problem with her, Mookie, huh? You got a problem
no,
with
she's
her?
Great in that movie.
Yeah,
oh my God.
I love
her voice. It's unique. It's
No, I love it in that movie, but in every other movie, I was just like, oh no. But she's good in this. But I also feel that she deserves a little bit of respect because she's been around for a long time. And I was like, really? You had her wear that t-shirt for like a majority of the movie. She couldn't have gotten a different, like, it would have been fine for one scene. And then it's kind of like a joke that's not explained. Like, nobody says, like, hey, I mean, obviously as the audience, we have to assume it, but nobody goes, this is the only t-shirt we have. So it just felt weird and kind of like out of left field. I mean, I don't know. That's how I felt about it.
Yeah, because she came in and asked what was in Lost and Found.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just assumed that was it. But I agree with you. Like, I think it was funny for a second. And then after a while, I was like, if you don't want the shirt with balls on, then like turn it inside out. Or like,
Yeah. Like she's gonna go into a meeting with that shirt on, right. You know, and like defend herself. You know, that was a little much. You know, where they were trying to like gather all the evidence, or you know, pick apart her plan with the what was it, the assistant DA or the DA who she had. Yeah.
Ali Wong, who's listed in the poster, and I kept looking for her. I'm like, where is she? And then finally she's in the, I'm like, oh, really? This is her role? Shrug. Yeah. Yes, you know, playing Montoya's former partner, yes, quote unquote. Yeah. I also love the fact that the captain of the precinct was the captain from 21 Jump Street.
Yes. Oh, good call. I was like, oh my God, he's back. Like, where's Hanson?
He was also the hunter in one of the Friday the 13th movies.
Oh, yes. You're right. No, but it was the 21 Jump Street connection. I kept expecting Johnny Depp to pop out and Dom DeLuise's son. Oh, yeah. I was very happy to see him, particularly as a police captain. It was great. Hey,
do you like Dom DeLuise's son in 21 Jump Street or in Sequest?
Was he in Sequest as well?
Yeah, I didn't know. He became a regular on Sequest. He's like this alien, like this aquatic creature hybrid thing for a while.
Oh, I can't believe I forgot his first name, but I used to love 21 Jump Street. I'm not going to lie. I loved 21 Jump Street. It was a good show.
Paul and Renya are both quiet. They're like, oh, we're going to talk about this.
Let them talk about 21 Jump Street. But no, when he showed up as the captain, I was like, this is great because it's him and he's the captain. Like, you know, and exactly. He's also sort of like the hard edge captain. But any other thoughts about Montoya, or are we just going to talk about her I shave my balls for this t-shirt?
I thought Zaz was good. Chris Messina.
Okay.
Yeah, he was great.
That was a really, really good Zaz.
What is he from? What else has he done? Because I recognized him immediately, but I couldn't peg it. Like, what? There's a show that he was on that I used to watch. I don't know what it is, but that guy works a ton.
Argo?
He was in what?
Argo.
Oh, he was in The Newsroom. I think that was it. The Newsroom, the HBO show.
6 Feet Under?
Yeah. Yeah,
I have to admit, for a second when he first came on screen, I thought he was there's a British actor who was in Snatch, and also one of the, he's got blonde hair. He looks African American. He's got short blonde hair, and he had like gold teeth in Snatch, and I thought that was him for a second.
Huh.
And I'm like, oh no, that's not, because they kind of have that same kind of similar, at least in the film, they have that similar look. So I was a little thrown at first.
Sure. Well, what are some thoughts about Black Canary? Because I actually ended up really liking Black Canary and wished that they had given her much more character development, quite honestly.
First of all, I spent the whole movie thinking it was Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, really? Jennifer Hudson?
Nice.
I was just like, is that her? Did she like lose more weight? Like, what's going on?
No way.
No, I liked her character. I mean, she was obviously like badass, but also like, I'm going to help you, but we don't need to be buddies about it, but still like a conscious. Like, I liked her. I think she could have been a little more sneaky about things.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I feel like her little storyline got thrown around a lot, mostly because of the sort of like timeline mixing in the movie, where it was like, what is she doing? What is happening with her? I think they could have solidified her and given her more of a, again, another arc or character development. But as far as like sort of like the badassness of the character, like I thought she was great.
Yeah, I wanted to know, because I was confused. I'm like, wait, so were they dating at first, or does she just, is she stuck here working for him, being a singer for some reason? We don't know why. And then like all of a sudden you're bullied into being the driver instead of the singer. Yeah.
Which was a weird transition. That was like really weird. Now you're going to be the driver because you know how to kick some butt. And it's like, okay, why can't I just be a bodyguard? You know what I mean? It just didn't seem to, line up for me. But no, I have to say that I was skeptical. Like I said earlier, I was skeptical about Black Canary. But once I saw her in the movie, I was like, oh, okay, this works. You know, I'm totally fine with it. I'm also a big Mary Elizabeth Winstead fan. I've liked her since Sky High.
I like her too. I wish she were in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. I wish she had more to do in the movie, or had been more. I would love to see a Huntress movie.
I was just going to ask you if that would work.
Yeah, I think, well, so that is definitely one of the things that I did like about the movie, is that because Amy, my wife, was asking me after the movie, was that like her real story? Is that, and I was like, yeah, that's the Huntress. Like, her whole family gets wiped out in a mob hit, and that's why she becomes a vigilante. And I very much, they very much stuck to the origins of her character. And they also threw some thing about Black Canary too, because like the 80s Black Canary was sort of like a legacy hero or heroine, and Rosie Perez has a couple of lines about, you know, your mother, and she helped the police and stuff, so kind of almost making it seem like Black Canary was a legacy hero of her own, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And they kept her name, Dinah Lance, and all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, like, as a whole, I did not love this movie, but I thought it was good. Like, I liked it. I would not discourage people who are interested in it from seeing it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, it was definitely fun to watch. Like, it had some really good badass fight scenes. Like, I actually really liked the one in the carnival. Or in the fun house, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Booby trap?
Yeah.
Roller skates.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, when the roller skates came out of nowhere. And it's funny because I, like, had that same thought, like, whoa. And then they say it, you know, shoe change. It's like, okay, at least you acknowledge that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
What was everybody's thoughts on, was it Awkwafina, the little girl?
That was not Awkwafina, no.
Oh my god.
Wow. Come on, Evis. Cassandra Cain? I did not like her at all. I thought she was the weakest link in the whole movie. I thought her acting was terrible. And I wish they had not called her Cassandra Cain, because Cassandra Cain in the comics becomes Batgirl at some point.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah. She's supposed to be like a badass sort of like assassin. And they sort of like took a character from the comics and just like threw her away. And she's obviously supposed to be like the wise ass sidekick. But I did not see that actress, you know, I didn't see her shine through. Let's just put it this way. She's not my favorite kid actor out there right now. Because I was like, oh, wow. Could we have at least hired somebody with a personality? Sorry to harsh on a kid in a movie, but I did not think she was good at all.
Yeah, I was a little taken. I remember watching it going, wait, so she's supposed to grow up into Ruby Rose?
No. sort of. Yeah. But I was not a big fan of her in the movie, so I'm sorry.
You didn't like the precocious pickpocket?
No, but she wasn't even precocious. Like, she wasn't even, she had no personality. Precociousness is beneficial when you have a sort of hint of sarcasm to everything that shines through because of your personality, of which this character had none. I'm very sorry. I don't mean to be so harsh, but I really felt like that was a missed opportunity in casting, in my opinion. Sorry. I don't have a problem with the precocious pickpocket. I do have a problem with the actor that played them. Sorry. I'm not a mean person, I swear. Well, I kind of am sometimes, but anyway.
That was her first film.
Was it?
Yeah, yep. She's done a couple little TV series, like just one episoders.
Yep.
And that was her first
film.
Well, good luck to you, Ella J. Basco. Good luck to you. It looks like she's been on Veep and Grey's Anatomy, bunch of stuff. So, well, you know, she's doing better than I ever did. So, like, what do you get? But to me, I just thought that it wasn't necessarily the character itself. I just, her performance didn't shine through for me. And I didn't, I think with that type of character, you have to fall in love with them because she is sort of the object of everyone's, she's the pursuit, because she, spoiler, has swallowed the diamond, right? And you do not want her to get hurt. And obviously, I don't want any child in any movie to get hurt. But that should be sort of like the Macaulay Culkin, right? That should be the one that if anything happens to, like, you're like, oh my God, like, please don't let anything bad happen to this character. And I just didn't care enough. It, not that I wanted the kid to get hurt, but I wasn't invested enough in her character to care. Yeah,
and to be fair, they sort of threw that element of the movie out of the window a few times.
Yeah. Like, it was a little all over the place.
But that's not important. Hey, come over here to another time when this thing's happening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and again, I mean, that is a bit of the problem that I had with the movie, that it was a little all over the place. The timeline is back and forth, and I don't feel like it was as seamless as, like, say, somebody like a Quentin Tarantino, you know, would do, which is know how to manage the timeline. And I there were definitely times where it was a little off-putting, and I think, to Paul's point, I think the development of that character suffered because of it. Same thing with Black Canary. I think
the narration of Little Women was harder to follow than this.
Don't even get me started on Little Women.
Don't even get me started on Little Women. Some Academy member who said that he didn't vote for it because he felt he was confused by the timeline.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about an Academy member, but I just I didn't like Little Women at all. Like, oh. I did not like it. So sorry.
Podcast then.
Wow. You would have preferred Little Men, huh?
No, I love Little Women. I've loved every adaptation up until that point. There was a very good PBS adaptation. I felt like the last one just messed with the timeline too much, and the ending was just out in left field, and I didn't like it. I think all the actresses were fine, but that's just me. But I did like Birds of Prey, so take that in your sock and smell it.
Take that in my sock and what?
I said stick that in your sock and smell it. I have no idea.
Smock and pipe it.
And with that, we will wrap up.
So you would prefer Little Women if it had had Harley Quinn in it?
Sure, why not? Harley Quinn, Black Canary, The Huntress.
So it's Little Heroes.
Little Heroes, Little Heroines.
I smell sequel.
Exactly. There you go. All right. In any case, this has been the, what do we call it? Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey episode of Part-Time Fanboy. My name is Christian Horn. I have been on the line with my fellow Birds of Prey, Yves Cannavale, Reina Velarde, and Paul Edwards. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Our email is ptf@parttimefanboy.com. My name, once again, is Christian Horn. Thank you for listening, and we will be back soon with another episode. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
See you, Mr. J.
Part-Time Fanboy. Part-time.